This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. And welcome back to the fifth episode of the Seerah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where we left last time as the people were trying to rebuild the Kaaba, but they were afraid to destroy it because of what happened to Abraha. As we recall that what happened to Abraha, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the army because he was trying to destroy the Kaaba. And that is our belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect his deen and al-Kaaba bi-idhnillahi rabbil alameen. And now we know the story of it, that Walid ibn al-Mughira, he started to have the strength to dig first. So the people around him did not want to join him. What they were looking for? They were waiting for Walid ibn al-Mughira to see what happens to him in a day after. So he started digging and they waited. If something happened to him the day after, we will not touch it. But if he came out, he was used as a guinea pig. But if he was safe and sound the following day, then they were actually going to help him in that digging. So alhamdulillah, nothing happened to him. But they were still afraid. So they were digging cautiously. And they were calling and saying out, Allahumma inna lam nazigh, Allahumma inna lam nazigh. Oh Allah, we have not been led astray. We have not been led astray. We want to do the right thing. So now they started to dig till they reached a green stone. It is narrated that somebody was trying to actually dig beneath those great sharp stones, except a great light, illuminating light, came beneath it, and the man was almost blinded. And that mi'wal, this steel hammer, almost flew out. So they knew that this was the foundation, and they left it there. And as you recall, we mentioned that there was a Coptic slave sold, that he was proficient in doing the a building with that wood, something that was new to them, because they used to use mud and clay in order for them to do the building of the Kaaba. And now we said again that it was a ship just taken out, it had ditched, and they used that wood for it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for them. And as you recall again, they made sure that the money for the Kaaba came in from the pure lawful sources. As we remind ourselves again, please make sure our lawful sources are there, because again, Prophet Muhammad is nafatha fiya ruh al-amin. It is said that Jibreel alayhi salam told them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take the soul of anyone till they fulfill the sustenance, but it certainly will make sure that the sustenance are kept as is. So ahsinu fi talab, seek the sustenance from their lawful sources. And the beautiful story of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu warda. He says one day he was taking a journey, and he had his horse with him, and he went to pray, and he left his horse outside with the reins, and he gave it to a man to look after it. The man liked the reins of the horse, so he took it off, and he sold it in the marketplace. So when Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu warda, he came out of the masjid, found out the horse without the rein. So he went to the marketplace to buy a rein, and when he was looking, he found his own. So he asked the man, he says, somebody sold you this. He says, yes. He says, أَسْتَحْلِفُكَ بِاللَّهِ, I ask you for the sake of Allah, how much did you give him for this? He says, 2 dinar. He says, wallahi, I was going to give him those 2 dinar for looking after my horse. وَلَكِنَّ اسْتَعْجَلْ, but he was in a rush to look for his sustenance. If he was patient, he wouldn't have gotten it, the lawful sources. A beautiful story for us brothers and sisters to be patient and seek the lawful sources. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify the wealth from the filth, insha'Allah. Ameen. Tayyib. And we mentioned before that the Al-Kaaba had different, the Hijr Ismail was in it and had the 2 doors. And when Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said to Aisha, wallahi, because of people that are new to Islam, I would have rebuilt the Kaaba, included Hijr Ismail and the 2 doors that come in, one from in and the outer door they will leave. But they are new to Islam. He did not want to have any fitna for them. And it started with Qawa'id Ibrahim. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had reestablished that beautiful Kaaba to be again the source. But it came down to a special place that they had differed upon, which is Hajar al-Aswad. Now we know that we don't worship stone. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, Taken to the specifically the Hajar al-Aswad. And he told him, Wallahi inni a'lamu innaka hajarun la tanfa' wa la tadur. By Allah, I know that you are merely a stone. You don't harm or benefit. But I kiss you because I only saw Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa kiss you. So what do we learn from that, akhi and ukhti? We learned that Umar ibn Khattab wanted to follow the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, holding on to the teaching of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, sometimes we are commanded to do certain things with a illah, with a reason. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give us the illah. Do things and He doesn't give you the reason. We cannot comprehend and contemplate or understand it for now. But we do things for two reasons. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, min ajli dhalika katabna. Because of this, la'allakum, and so on. For that reason we've done this. And for the purpose of that we do this. And you do this for that reason. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes doesn't. So the scholar says we do it for two reasons. One, we know the logic and the reason behind it for our own benefit. And sometimes we do it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says do it. We don't question it. لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not get questioned what He does, but we get questioned what we do. In the essence of speaking of the stone, we know we roam around the stone. We kiss a stone. We take a stone and throw it to another stone. Do we worship a stone? لا والله. It is the mashaa'ir. This is establishing the sunan, establishing the way of worship. So anybody from outside tells you that, you know the reason. But ukhti, I'm speaking to you, and akhi, I'm speaking to you. I want you to understand what we just said. You go around the stone, you kiss a stone, you take a stone, a pebble, and throw another stone. Shaitan. Of course, or it's not shaitan. And we know that people when go to hajj, what do? They take their slippers and they start hitting the shaitan. Allah help you, it's not shaitan, wallahi. It's just a mashar. You made me divorce my wife. You made me do this. Wallahi, it's not him. It's you. Allah help you, inshaAllah. So now we know, this is the mashar. This is what we do. But does it make sense? It doesn't. However, we're told to do it, we do it. But why don't we apply the same logic, ukhti? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Nur verse 31, Surah Al-Ahzab verse 59 says hijab, hijab, al-hijab qabla al-hisab ya ukhti. Wear the hijab before the reckoning, ukhti. It is the uniform of Jannah, insha'Allah. And now you say, no, I'm not convinced yet. And the reasons are too many, it's not our topic. But it's just a reminder, insha'Allah. It's because of this and I'm waiting for somebody to get marry me, I have to show them until I get old. How do you know that, ukhti? How do you know that you will get there? Allahu a'lam. How do you know that the man that is marrying you because you're not wearing hijab is the right man for you? There is another man that is looking for sisters wearing hijab. It is rizq, ukhti. Do please Allah, not people, ukhti. So imagine yourself now going to a doctor. He says you have breast cancer and you will have to give you chemotherapy and your hair will fall off. How do you feel, ukhti? What will you say? Tubna ilallah. I repent. I see the light. I'm healed. I wear the hijab now. Allahu Akbar, ya ukhti. So do it before you have to do it. And the rest of inshallah, same thing as the brothers. If you drink alcohol and so on, wal-i'adu billah, do drugs. And you go to a doctor and says, if you take one more sip of alcohol, you're going to die. What do you do, akhi? So tubna il, same. Allah help you, wallahi. So do things before you have to do it, akhi. So become sincere for the sake of Allah. We're not going to close the gates of mercy upon Allah, wallahi. The gates of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula is always open. Never despair of Allah's mercy, but it's a quick reminder for us to come back and make sure that we understand the reasons and the lessons learned for us to understand the seerah properly, inshallah, and implement it in our life to be the best life possible, the best Muslim possible, inshallah. It's a reminder for us to come back on track. Wallahu musta'an. They started to fight about the black stone. And of course, a man came and says, we will take the first man comes through the gate. He will judge and he will guide us to how to do it. It was only to be Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And everybody agreed that he is the Amin, his Sadiq al-Wa'd. He is the honest one. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came in. Because every tribe came in and wanted to do what? To put the Hajar al-Aswad back in the corner. Hada, this is like an honor of the dahr, of the whole the year, their lifetime. So every tribe wanted to have the honor of placing the Hajar al-Aswad back in the Kaaba. So every tribe came in. وَحِفْنَا مِنَ الدَّمِ. Came in with a pot full of their blood. Meaning what? Declare war. You will only do this on my dead body. So everybody was going to kill each other to put the Hajar al-Aswad back in place. And now the wise man says he will decide what to do. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam took his cloak, the abaya, and placed it down. Placed the Hajar al-Aswad on it and made every one of the honorable society of the tribes have a side from his own cloak. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, the honor of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to raise it up, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his own hand sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed it in his place to be that honor and glory. Allahu Akbar. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised his name. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Wa rafa'na laka dhikrak. We have raised your name and the glory and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula in so many other ways, inshaAllah. Tayyib, after this, we know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he placed it, it was a special place. It is narrated, as we mentioned before, that it could have been a hajar from Jannah. Wallahu a'lam. God knows best. But that hajar, there was a qaramita from another country, maybe Bahrain, wallahu a'lam. They wanted to build a Kaaba on their own. So they came and they wanted to steal that hajar al-aswad. For 60 or so years, wallahu a'lam, till that the Muslims got their strength back and regained it. However, it was not in full, it was in pieces. And now, the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before the ba'tha, before the revelation. Because some of the scholars say it's not befitting for us to say some of them say that he was a good prophet. Well, you know, anyway, so we say قبل البعثة, before the revelation. It was حُبِّبَ إِلَيْهِ الْعِبَادَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means the act of worship more beloved to his heart. So in the month of Ramadan, he used to have a seclusion and go to غَار حِرَى فِي جَبَلِ النُّورِ, the same mountain that you see. غَار حِرَى, it's narrated, is only like a 4 arms length in height and about an arm length and 3/4 or so in width. Very small, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed that beloved to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart to go and worship Allah and go there alone in the month of Ramadan. Because he wanted to stay away from shirk. He did not believe in what the other people believed. He did not know what it is yet, but he used to go there and ponder, reflect about the creation of Allah. He looks to look at the horizon, look at the glory of this. He didn't know not what yet, but he did not agree to this. And he was seeking knowledge, he was seeking the guidance. And you will see accordingly the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acknowledges that fact and is narrated. And now, he used to hear things, he used to say, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Rasulullah. And he used to hear it where he was walking. So he asked Jibreel later on, he says, I used to hear things saying, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Rasulullah. They greet him in salutation. He says, هَذَا الْحَجَرْ وَالشَّجَرْ. And Jibreel alayhi salam told him, this was the stones or the pebbles or the trees you passed by. They knew that you were the messenger of Allah. And they used to greet you, As-salamu alaykum ya Rasulullah. How could we not send salam to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa tabi'in ajma'in. So lots of hasanat, akhi and ukhti, when you say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you hear his name, say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not be a miser, do not be a stingy. Atadruna man al-bakhil, do you know who is a stingy or the miser? Is the one that hears my name and he doesn't say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is heavy on the scale on Judgment Day. It is a bitaqa. You will get that on Judgment Day when you need the hasanat most, the reward most. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam places that bitaqa to heavier the scale on Judgment Day, and you will ask what it is, his hadhihi salat. This is when he used to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy upon you 10 times. So don't deprive yourself, akhi and ukhti, from this beautiful reward. When you hear the name of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at least say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa alayhi salatu wassalam. Allahu musta'an. Tayyib, after this, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mashallah, very good. He, for 6 months, prior to the Ba'tha, before the revelation, he used to see a vision. This hadith is sahih, and again in Sahih Muslim, Musnad Ahmad, Al-Bayhaqi, and so on, it's narrated an Aisha radiallahu anha. She used to say that he used to, for 6 months prior to the Ba'tha, he used to see a vision in his dream at night. In the morning, you see his Sabh al-Falaq, as if it's there, it happens. It is a paving the path in order for him to receive the revelation. The scholars say that his ba'tha was for 23 years. And since he saw the vision and it came true for 6 months, so they divided the 6 months into the 23 years. So they say, min sifat al-nubuwa, among the characteristics of the prophethood, or the messenger, he says that at least 1 over 46 of the nubuwah is the ru'ya sadiqah. This is what you see in a vision, and you see it coming through. One of the 46 parts of the prophethood. Wallahu a'lam. And Aisha radiallahu anha said that in the hadith that is sahih, and in the difference of opinions among the scholars. If you read the book again, Rahiq al-Makhtum, you say it says that the 7th day, or the 17th day, or the 28th day, or the 21st day. And he says at-tarjih is the 21st day. Because it happened on a Monday, because Prophet Muhammad ﷺ says, هذا يوم ولدت فيه, هذا يوم وبعث, and I received the revelation on the Monday. And the Monday of that month, it had to be either 7th, or the 14th, on the 21st, or the 28th. And since we know it is the Laylat Qadr, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ, and so on, the ayat is there. We have revealed it in Laylat al-Qadr. And Laylat al-Qadr is in the strongest hadith, it is an odd number. And in the odd number, he goes, the majority of the opinion of the scholars is the 21st. Again, Wallahu A'lam. And again, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the revelation as he was going to worship Allah in the best form of the way deserving prior to he received the revelation in Ghar Hira, till he saw Jibreel alayhi salam. He came to him in a form of a man. He had a bag of dibaj, harir, and in it there was a book. Of course, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was afraid. Out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, a man comes for a place that no one knows about, that he is known to be his own seclusion place, and suddenly appears, and that man comes toward Prophet Muhammad ﷺ with that bag and the book in it. He says, "Iqra," and he says, "Fadammani," and he held him tight, he hugged him tight. So he says, "Ma ana biqari." In one narration, he says, "Ma ana biqari," meaning, "I do not know how to read." ثم أرسلني. Then he let me go. Then again, فضمني. So again, he held me tight. His اقرأ. He says, recite or read. His ما أنا بقارئ. In one narration, again it says, I don't know how to read. Or he says, what would you like me to read? Because the third time after that, he says, okay, he's not going to let me go till I read something. And what do I read? In the third time, same thing, he says, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Read in the name of your Lord that created. My brothers and sisters, let us stop here for one thing. I want to take you through a quick journey, inshaAllah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, according to the opinions of the majority scholars, that the first word is iqra, as we heard. Iqra, recite, read. So what? Acquire knowledge, akhi and ukhti. How could we not acquire knowledge? I'm not going to go into ilm al-tin and ilm al-deen, you know, the knowledge of this dunya or the knowledge of the deen. I understand. We can get the best of both, inshaAllah. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken him through stages. So let us learn from that beautiful stages of acquiring knowledge from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and implement it on us. So number one is iqra. So what do you do, akhi, if you want to get in da'wah and if you want to teach? And by the way, our scholars teach us, if you want to learn, teach. Because you will acquire knowledge in order for you to teach. And that's how you learn, akhi and ukhti. So let us do. مَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى قُلْ Who is better than the one who works for da'wah and teaches others? Who the best of you, who? مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنُ وَعَلَّمَ The best of you, those who learn the Qur'an and teach it. So have a goal in your life. Have a purpose in your life, akhi and ukhti. Do something for the sake of Allah. Whatever it is, if you have the knowledge, share the knowledge. If you have the wealth, share the wealth. If you have the position, share the position. But at least do something. Wallahi, I remember one Shaykh Saqr rahmatullahi alayh. I remember once going to a convention, and I remember he saying one thing that I never forgot. Jazahullah anna khayra wa rahimahullah. He says, when you wake up in the morning, say, Allahumma istakhdimni fi ta'atik. Oh Allah, use me in your obedience. Use me in your da'wah. Lillahi rijal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has men working on his behalf. مفاتيح للخير مغاليق للشر. The people that will open the gates of good, close the gates of evil. Be among them, أخي and أختي, and don't be the other way around. اقرأ, recite, read, acquire knowledge. So my brothers and sisters, If you don't know, say Allahu A'lam. من قال لا أعلم علمه الله. If you don't know, say Allahu A'lam. God knows best. Allah will teach you. من قال لا فقد أفتى. If you say no, I don't know, you're given fatwa, أخي. Go back to Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, among the greatest scholars. He says, لا أحسن الجواب. I don't know what to answer. People came from thousands of miles away. He says, لا أحسن الجواب. I don't have a good answer for you. And he was not afraid. So don't, everybody, if you read a book or hear a little CD or something, mashallah, I'm a mufti now. Go ahead, man. I'll take you on. You ask me a question. Of course I know. Allah will help you, akhi. Because the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in used to run away from fatwa. So first, acquire knowledge, inshallah. At least about the topic that you're talking about. Not the whole thing. There's a path to do it. But now he says, اقرأ, read, recite. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Number one, acquire knowledge. Then the scholars say, in another narration, he says, قم الليل إلا قليلا. Get up at night to do what? Implement the knowledge into actions. ليس من يعلم كمن لا يعلم. They're not the same. Those who know and those who don't know. إِمَّا حُجَّةٌ لَكَ أَوْ عَلَيْكَ. This knowledge that you have, a plea for you or against you. So let it be a plea for you, أخي. Not against you, أختي, inshaAllah. So now, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was given إقرأ. So we have to acquire the knowledge. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is done. قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Get up at night and pray to implement the knowledge that you have into actions. Meaning, walk the talk, أخي. We cannot be hypocrites. And then, I mean, the narrations are there. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. قَبُلَ مَكْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُ مَا لَتَفْعَلُونَ. It is grave in the sight of Allah that you do what you don't say. Don't be among those who say, do as I say and don't do as I do and so on. Allah help us, Allah. Walk the talk and lead by example, inshaAllah. After قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of the opinion says, what? قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ. Acquiring knowledge. Implementing the knowledge into actions. Now you're ready. He says, قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ. In the book it says, in the wahi, in two revelations. One, his own implementations of the wahi, and then warning others. So first he had to lead by example. فَقِلْ شَيْءٍ لَا يُعْطِيهِ. If you don't have it, you can't give it. So again, recite, acquire knowledge, implementing the knowledge. And no, you walk the talk, now you're ready. قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ. أَمْر, فِعْل. This is a command verb. قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ. Get up and warn. And of course, this is عشيرتك الأقربين. قم فأنذر. Read and recite, implement, go warn people. After this, what happened? What did he say? ولربك فاصبر. Subhanallah. And be patient for your Lord. Why? Among you, you're going to carry this message. It's a heavy burden. It's not going to be easy. You know why? Because people don't want this straight path. They will fight you for it. يبغونها عوجا يصدون عن سبيل الله ويبغونها عوجا. They will stop from the straight path of Allah. They want it crooked, otherwise their business is not going to flourish and so on. We're not going to go there, but you understand. Now you know that even the same formula was even on that, and the tongue of Luqman. يا بني أقم الصلاة وأمر بالمعروف وانهى عن المنكر واصبر على ما أصابك. Oh my child, أقم الصلاة, establish prayer. But again, establish prayer, not establish properly, not just pray. Establish. أقم, إقامة. Properly, the way that Allah will accept, inshallah. وَمُ الْمَعْرُوفِ, enjoying good. Forbid evil. The scholar says, all of this is good or bad? They're all good. But why did they say, وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ, be patient what you're going to be plagued with? Same thing. So, أخي and أختي, if you come in this path of da'wah, and the new Muslim brothers and sisters, welcome, inshallah. But rest assured that you will be tested. This path is not that easy, but you will be tested, but the reward is abundant. Be holding on, inshallah. So how do you deal with this? Remember, Ibn Qayyim, Ramfari says, أَلِّفْ ثُمَّ عَرِّفْ ثُمَّ كَلِّفْ. أَلِّفْ الْقُلُوبِ, reconcile the hearts. عَرِّفْ, raise awareness and educate. After that, obligate. And that's the best way to do it, with a smiling face, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us all to the straight path and give us that knowledge so we can share, inshallah, and accept from all of us. Ameen wa akhir da'wahum alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallam ala alihi wa sahbihi wa tabi'een. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who follow the speech and listen to the speech and follow the best of it. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.